Hey, God bless you guys. Good morning and welcome to the online campus. My name is Pastor Chris. I'm the lead pastor here. And I know we just started this brand new series called Hypocrite, and you guys have been really gracious and letting me know how well you're connecting to the new series. I am going to pause for just 1 week. And this, if you don't know, is Pastor Appreciation Weekend. You guys are always amazing. You're so generous and gracious to Lisa and I. We feel unbelievably favored and blessed by God to pastor this church. In March, it's going to be 12 years as lead pastor. And you guys always set aside a weekend in the year to just do some very special things to honor us. And today at the on-site campus happens to be that day. I wanted to have a very special friend be here and speak because I like to just be a part of the wonderful weekend and just get to sit with you guys and be under teaching. And we have been long time friends with Pastor Johnny and Jamie Wilson. I've known them since we were teenagers. Lisa and I have been incredibly close friends with them for countless years. And we absolutely love getting to be with them as our friends. But just as importantly, I love sharing Johnny with our congregation. He is a really, really well-respected and well-traveled pastor who gets invited all over. And there's no way, honestly, that he could say yes to all the invitations that he gets. And one of the times that he sets aside is to be with us. And he's gracious to be with us usually once a year. And that is a huge honor for us that he says yes to us. He considers himself part of this church and loves to be with us. I love having him. I hope you love and enjoy having him today. Would you guys help me welcome Pastor Johnny Wilson?
It is so awesome. Thank you, Pastor Chris. It's so awesome to get to be sharing on this weekend, the weekend in which Summit Church is recognizing Pastor Appreciation. And, you know, man, I so appreciate Pastors Chris and Lisa Young. Me and my wife, Jamie, we are about as close to them as we possibly can be, as close of friends as we can be. Of course, being separated by living on opposite coasts. But I'm so appreciative of his leadership. I know you are as a church. Some of the things I think about, what I know about Pastor Chris, I love his attention to detail when it comes to ministry, that his pursuit of excellence when it comes to ministry. I so appreciate, he has a can-do attitude. It's going to get accomplished. We're going to do it. No excuses. I love that about him. Also, anytime I'm in town and get to share at Summit Church, I'm always impressed with his love for you guys. I'm always impressed with his passion for the people that God has allowed him to pastor. And he's a great friend. He's a great husband. He's a great father. And so we're, of course, honored anytime we get to cross paths with Summit Church. I'm kind of like a I'm not just a guest. I'm kind of a once a year member of the church, sort of. So we're excited to get to be a part of this weekend's ministry. If you do have a copy of God's word there, I encourage you, as we look into this word, I encourage you just to lean in to what God is saying and kind of eliminate whatever distractions there may be going on and really lean into what God is speaking to you. If you have a copy of God's word there, go to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 11 and 12. So Ephesians chapter 4 and also Acts chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 4 and Acts chapter 2. And speaking of Pastor Chris, if as I was kind of encouraging him and saying what I've grown to appreciate about him, maybe somebody was watching this and thinking, yeah, well, he thinks he's God's gift to the church. Okay, here's the thing. He may or may not think that. He probably doesn't think that. But God actually does think that, and Ephesians chapter 4 talks about that. It says this, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church." Gifts that Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Now, Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. And I want to challenge specifically today, I want to challenge Summit Church in this, because you have been given the gift of a pastor, and because you've been given the gift of the pastor that you've been given, especially blessed by God, I believe, then let's be a church that is built up. Let's be the strongest church we can be, because that's why we were given this gift, is so that we can be built up as the church, so that we as God's people can be equipped. So let's be the best version of that we can be. And when I think about kind of our involvement in church, it reminds me of several years back. I was at a convention, a large convention in Denver, Colorado. I was attending, and we were spending most of our days inside the convention center. And one of those days, I wore a Kansas City Chiefs jersey to the convention. Didn't think anything about it. Kind of had forgotten what city I was in. Just wearing a jersey because I've been a fan for years. Of course, now we are the world champions. Thank you very much for that. But that day we weren't, I just wore it, not thinking anything about it. And then me and a friend stepped out of the convention center, went down the road a little ways and found a little kind of restaurant, bar and grill type of thing to eat lunch at. So we're there waiting to be seated for lunch, and someone else walked in and they had a Denver Broncos jersey on. That's one of the division rivals for the Kansas City Chiefs. And so when he walked in, I still really didn't think much about it. I had kind of forgotten what shirt I had on. And he saw me, and man, it was on. I mean, he was ready to go. And he starts asking me questions about the team. Ask me, well, are you guys going to be good this year? And you think you're going to beat us this year? And he's just grilling me with all this stuff. And I was like, oh man, yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I'm just trying to be kind of light and kind of cool about it. And he is, the more he talks, the more angry he is getting. And so finally our server comes and says, okay, we can seat you here. And so we start to go seat. I say, hey man, you know, I'll see you later. He goes, yeah, we'll see what happens on September 37th or whatever. Like, he's got the date figured out on when the game is. I'm like, all right, dude, Pete, you know, see you later. So he goes sit down. We're sitting down eating not even eating yet. We're sitting down at the table for like 1 minute. And here comes the hostess bringing my new friend with his Broncos jersey past us, seats them at the booth directly connected to our booth, the booth behind us. So now homeboy is sitting right here. Our heads are like 6 inches apart. He's facing the other direction. And the entire rest of the meal, he's still trying to throw verbal jabs at me, still trying to like mock my team or try to instigate me to like get up and be like, okay, I've had enough. Let's fight. Like, I don't know what he was hoping was going to happen. I could just picture that, you know, me being on the news, like pastor here from out of town in a bar fight. Like, that's what I'm picturing was going to happen. So I just play it cool and we get ready to leave. And I'm like, hey man, good luck this year, whatever. It was all fine. It was all good. But the thing that kind of caught me off guard with it was the fact that I had this jersey on to him really meant that I was, you know, that I was worthy of answering some pretty serious questions about the organization. I wanted to be like, hey, you do know there are people actually higher up in the organization than me. I'm just a fan. And when I think about that of a football team, there are different layers of involvement. Like, we get that, right? I wanted to be like, hey, you get that there are different levels of this. I think if you look at any football organization, you might have, number one, you'd have spectators. You have people that are just there. And they might not even be caring about which teams are playing. They're just at a football game. I've been to a football game that I didn't really care about whichever team it was. I was just there. So you have spectators. And then you have fans, which I would put myself in that category, right? Like, I'd be at a game and I would be a fan of one of those teams. I would be really hoping that one of those teams would win. So you have a spectator, you have fan, then you have team members and employees. Like, team members would stretch out into coaches and maybe front office people and players that are in the game or on the practice squad. That would be another level of involvement. And then a fourth level of involvement on any team is going to be impact players. I'm talking about the people that make the big salaries, the people who, when the team wins, it's because of them. Like, some people are on a team that wins, some people are on a winning team because they're on that team. Those are impact players. And those are levels we can see, like, on a professional sports team. But here's the thing, with the kingdom of God, there's really not room for those different layers of involvement. When we understand the kingdom of God, when we understand the church isn't really built for various levels of membership, involvement, or investment. Really, you know what? All of us in the church, and get this, all of us in the church have the opportunity and probably have the obligation to be impact players. You're called to be not just in the church, not just around the church. We're called to live as the church, to be the church. We don't just attend church, we are church. Think about Summit. Summit just isn't a church, it's not the church, but Summit, I think it'd be fitting if you say it this way, Summit's my church. That's a good example that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16. That's how he worded it. He said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not stand up against it. My church. And so as you take ownership of your church and understand the strength that you find in your relationship with God, that's the strength the church is going to find. We are the church. And so if we're going to be the church and be a strong version of it, again, based on the gift that God's given us, let's be built up as a church. Then let's do this. Let's look at the first mention of the New Testament church. There's a phrase called the law of first mention. And when you're studying something in Scripture, a lot of times it's healthy to go back to the first mention of that in Scripture and kind of study through that. Well, really, the first mention of the church, the New Testament church in Scripture, is Acts chapter 2. So Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42 says, those who accepted his message, this is Peter preaching that day, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That's quite a service. And then verse 42 kind of talks about what this new group of believers, as they kind of formed the church, 42 talks about what they did. It says, they devoted themselves, might want to just underline that and mark that. It's a decision we make. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Once they're saved by Christ, this early church, this innocent church, this pure original version of the church, they devoted themselves not to a sports team and not to a social cause, not to a political party, not to celebrity, not to hobby, but they devoted themselves to the church, to be built up as a church. And as we devote ourselves to being a built up church because of the gift that God's given us, I think it means when we choose the church, I think it means we choose instruction. We choose instruction. If you're taking notes, go ahead and write that down, to choose instruction. They devoted themselves to the apostle teaching. That's what verse 42 says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. These 3,000 new converts, they needed instruction in the Word of God if they were going to grow and become effective witnesses. And we notice here that the early church did more than just make converts, but the early church was making disciples. And here's the thing. We still, no matter how long you've been saved, maybe you've been saved for a week, and maybe you've been saved for a decade, maybe more. Here's the thing. We still need to be committed to the communication of God's Word. None of us have arrived. None of us have already gotten there. None of us know it all. And so we all still need to be committed to these kind of moments, right, of Scripture being preached and taught. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says it this way. It says, so if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. We never want to get to the place of complacency when it comes to our level of doctrine, our level of understanding of God's Word. We never want to become apathetic towards receiving. We want to stay hungry for God's Word. Matter of fact, that makes me think of a newspaper. Back in the day, there was these things called newspapers, and people would buy them and read them and write letters to the editor in a newspaper. So this is back years ago when newspapers were more a thing. But someone wrote to the editor in the section of the newspaper that was letters to the editor, and he wrote this. He said, I've gone for 30 years to church, and he says, it doesn't really make sense for me to go to church anymore. He continues and says, in that time, over 30 years, he says, I've heard something like 3,000 sermons, but for the life of me, I can't remember a single one of them. So I think I'm wasting my time. I think the pastors are wasting theirs by giving these sermons at all. Well, this started quite a controversy in the notes to the editor section of the newspaper. And so people would write in, and this went on for several weeks, where people would write in rebuttals to this, and people would do different arguments about whether or not you should go to church, and why you should, and why you shouldn't, and people were going back and forth. And this went on for several weeks until one letter, after about 4 weeks, one letter was kind of a clincher. And this is what the man wrote who was the clincher. He said this, he said, well, I've been married for 30 years now. And in that time, my wife has cooked some 32,000 meals. But for the life of me, I cannot recall the entire menu for a single one of those meals. But I do know this, that they all nourished me and they gave me strength, the strength I needed to do my work. And if my wife had not given me those meals, I would be physically dead today. Likewise, if I'd not gone to church for nourishment, I would be spiritually dead today. And I kind of like the way that summed that up, that's part of why we are committed to instruction. It's because it's the nourishment that we need. And maybe somebody's going, well, do I have to go to church for that? Because, man, there's social media and there's YouTube and I can go and find preaching anywhere I want to find it and I can listen. And listen, I say go for it. Listen to as much of that as you want to. But let me say this. I don't know if anybody's like me. If you have cravings sometimes that are very, very strong cravings for certain foods, I do. Sometimes in the afternoon, I will get a craving for like a chocolate chip cookie that's very profound. It almost feels like it's from the Lord. Like it's that strong in my life that sometimes I'll have that feeling. And usually I'll go find some cookies somewhere and I'll get some. But I have found this. Many times my cravings don't always reflect what's crucial for my health and well-being. Does that make sense to anybody? Now, sometimes I can crave something that doesn't make it crucial for my life. And a lot of times what I could eat isn't always necessarily what I should eat. And so when we're talking about being committed to instruction, I'm going to add this stipulation to it. I think we need to be committed to the instruction of our local church. See, 1 Timothy chapter 4 talked about in the end times, there'll be people who go around and they'll find someone preaching or teaching something that their itching ears want to hear. They no longer put up with sound doctrine. They're going to find somebody that will just preach to them what they want to hear. Well, I think you need to be grateful for a church and grateful for a pastor that preaches to you not just what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. And that's the beauty of a local church. Yes, there are great chefs out there cooking up great messages, great communicators who can preach the word like crazy. And we could name some famous communicators, and they are great chefs when it comes to nourishing word from the word of God. However, there is nothing like being faithful to the word for your body. There's nothing like being faithful to your house, to your pastor, to your church. Lean into messages because they are found in a place of going, God, what does my church need to hear today? There's a leadership going on. God is leading your pastor to share and to move in directions that you need to go. And so that's all part of leaning into the instruction in your local church. As part of us being built up as the, you know, choosing to be the church, let's also choose connection. Not only instruction, but let's choose connection. I like as Acts 2:42 goes on, it says, they devoted themselves to fellowship and to the breaking of bread. And this word fellowship, I think sometimes we know that word, it gets used a lot. I'm not sure we fully understand always the meaning of it. I think sometimes we think fellowship just means being together, but fellowship is way heavier than just being together. Fellowship is actually having in common. Like it's more that we're going the same direction. It's not just, you know, that we're in the same room. You can be in the same room. How many knows? You can be in the same room and be going two different directions. You can be in the same room and have very, very little in common. But here's the thing. We human beings, we were created for community. And so I'm going to find it somewhere because I'm kind of wired for it. Like, you're wired for it, and you're going to find community somewhere. And my question to you is this. I want you to think about this. If I'm not finding community in the church, then where am I finding community? You're going to find it somewhere. And if you have found it somewhere other than the church, then let me go on to ask you, then what are the values of that community? What are their goals? What are their pursuits? What are they doing to deal with tough seasons and tough times? I mean, obviously 2020 has been a tough year. So if your community is not the church, then what does your community do to deal with tough times? How do they act when their marriage hits a rough patch? What are they going to go to when their stress level is high? These are the things I got to think about when it comes to my community. And I just happen to believe that the church is the only place to find true community, true healing, true compassion, true love. It's the church where people truly care about one another, because it's God who's caring through them. And we care about others not because of their status and not because of their finances, not because of their looks. No, we care about them because the Spirit of God is at work in us and through us. As a Christian, you are not called to just believe. We think, oh, I'll just believe on Christ, and that's the extent of my calling. No, you're not just called to believe, you're also called to belong. It was C.S. Lewis who pointed out that the word membership actually is of Christian origin. Like, that word, that concept began in Christianity. Now, since then, yes, the world has emptied that concept a little bit of its meaning, but membership had to do with belonging to a body, being a part of the process that this body is being built up. I don't know if you've thought of yourself as a bodybuilder, but you are. I mean, you can maybe tell, maybe the camera's putting on a few pounds. I don't know, but man, I'm committed to the gym. Like, I seriously, I go to the gym at least once a year, at least. And I just don't miss more than, you know, at least once a year. And so my body, maybe my physical body, it's not built up like it should be. I used to have a six pack. It's a little bit more of a 2 liter now. So I got some issues. But I don't want the body of Christ to look like that. I'll tell you that. We are called as the church to be a part of an organism. Matter of fact, Paul talked about membership of the church being that there's a vital organ as part of a living body. That's how Paul talked about it. That's how important this is. The church is a body. It's not a building. The church is an organism. It's not just an organization. This is how Paul described it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, now you are the body, and each one of you is a part of it. Colossians chapter 1, Paul says, and he is the head of the body, the church. And so we're the body of Christ, and Christ is the head. And so our strength matters. Like, what we look like and how we conduct ourselves, it matters, because Christ is the head of this. And so it's important how we're interacting with one another. Like, here's the thing. Our assignment, our calling from God, is more of a group project more than it is an individual project. We're called to accomplish and to advance the kingdom kind of as a group project. We're all wired for fulfillment. Like, that's what we want at the end of the day, to go, what I'm doing makes a difference. What I'm doing matters. That's been hardwired in you by God. But here's the thing. You'll find the most fulfillment in life when you don't go through it alone. You'll find the most fulfillment in life as you stay connected as a group. Connection is not just rewarding, but I believe that connection is required. It's required in the Word of God. As part of the church, if we're going to commit to be a strong church, if we're going to choose that, then we're also going to choose communion. We talked about choosing instruction, talked about choosing connection, and finally in verse 42, that early church, they chose communion. It says they devoted themselves to prayer. And the reason why I believe that their devotion to prayer is listed where it was is because I think that their instruction in the Word of God and their connection to one another really spurred them on towards being people of prayer. Prayer was a day-to-day vital part of the early church. Can I say that again? It was a daily vital part of the early church. As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts, 48 times it says they prayed, and just in the book of Acts alone. And here's the thing. We want to accomplish great things as a church. We want to be built up. We want to be a strong church. But here's the thing. We'll never exercise the power of the early church until we exemplify the prayer of the early church. Without prayer, there is no power. The Greek word that gets translated prayer here in Acts chapter 2 is actually a word that denotes intimacy, like a close range conversation. Have you ever thought about prayer like that? That prayer is a close range conversation with God. Many times we don't even think of prayer as a conversation. We think of prayer as a time that I go and I list all the things I want and need from God, and then I sign out and He takes care of everything I've given Him to do. I want you to think about prayer like this. We think that the most valuable part of prayer is that God hears us. The most valuable part of prayer is not that God hears us, but that we hear Him. It's a close, intimate conversation with Christ. I feel like most divorces, at least at some point in the journey of that marriage turning into a divorce, at some point there is a problem with a loss of intimacy. And unfortunately, that can happen with people who have relationships with God. And usually the beginning or somewhere early on in someone really walking away from their relationship with God, at some point there is a loss of intimacy. And so I want to encourage you to be a strong church and go back to prayer, to pray for your pastor as we recognize pastor appreciation. Pray for your pastors, but not just pray for them. How about this? Ask God, what specifically do I need to pray for them? In what areas of their life do I need to pray for them the most? And God, He may drop some things on your heart that you wouldn't normally pray for. And that is the conversation of prayer. And that's going to be the part of any powerful church. The church, like services and things like events and whatever, none of those things were made to replace your relationship with God. All those things exist just to reinforce your relationship with Jesus. And if that's not happening, then we're doing church wrong. Let me end with this. My wife, Jamie, is also here in Lincoln with us this weekend. And if you came up to me, maybe Sunday you came to the service and, or found me, at lunch somewhere. And you said, hey, you know what? Like, I think, I kind of like you, and what you shared kind of helped me, and it was cool, and it's pretty good, and like whatever, like you give me some compliments. But then you go, but you know what? Man, your wife, man, I can't even hardly handle her. I mean, I don't know about that. Like she's boring. She's irrelevant. She's doesn't even look that great. Like I don't like talking to her. Like how many know, like if you did that, it don't matter how nice you were to me at the beginning, by the time you got talking about my wife, how many know we'd have a problem, right? Like I'm not a fighter, but I just might be rolling up my sleeves like, okay, let's do this. Obviously, you want to go, right? So this is how that would go down, and none of you would do that, but this is how that would go down if you decided to kind of start to talk bad about my wife. Well, let me read to you another passage of Scripture, what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, the church, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Now, let me ask you this. How do you think Christ feels when people say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I want to be close to you. You really help me, Jesus. You strengthen me, but I can't stand your wife. I can't stand the church. I think it's phony. I think it's boring. I think it's irrelevant. How do you think Christ feels? No, we're called to be the church. We're called to appreciate the church. We're called to value the church in our life. And as we do that, we're returning to God a gift of His bride because we're thankful for the gift that He's given us. And so I want to pray. I want to pray a blessing on you, a blessing on Summit Church. And I'm going to pray that God will help you and speak to you about ways that you can better strengthen this awesome fellowship. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this word. And I do pray for all those that are leaning into this moment. And I pray, God, if there's anybody that needs to step up in their involvement, in their part, God, that they would just be a key player in what's going on in the kingdom through Summit Church. And I pray, God, if we need to get anything straightened out in our lives in order to do that, Lord, help us to reset our priorities. We do love you. We are thankful. And I pray, bless Summit Church in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.